As you can see, I've written on the board three words, the five senses. Do we know what our five senses are? So we have touch, smell, taste, eyesight, hearing. Now, I was thinking about, and tonight I didn't ask her, but back here in the back is one of my new grandbabies. And I've been thinking about this lesson. So when a newborn first comes into the world, I want to talk about the development of those physical senses. And so this is Anna back here. And Natalie, how old is she? She's 5 months old. So she's going to have some of her senses are going to be a little more developed than a newborn. But when a newborn, when they first come into the world, everything is kind of fuzzy. You know, they've been in darkness for a while, obviously, their whole life so far. And so everything's kind of fuzzy to them, and their eyes are unaccustomed. And what I was reading was they can only see from about the distance of your arm, from where they're laying in your arm up to your face, about 8 to 10 inches. And so that's as far as they can see there in the beginning. But as they get a little older, so 2 to 3 months, they start to recognize faces. They start to smile. And then at 3 to 4 months, they can see across the room. And recently I was at Natalie's house and holding the baby, and it was time for her to eat. And she was fine until it was time for her to eat. And then she was stretching her body completely this way, trying to find her mom in the kitchen. I mean, almost twisting out of my arms. And she could see clear across, find her mom. So that eyesight was improving with time and exercising. Excuse me. She can perceive depth now. She can figure out the distance from here to my glasses, and she's just about got to my glasses. And I think about how babies, they'll try and they'll miss, and they'll try and they'll miss, and they'll try again. And it was kind of funny this morning, funny to me, when Jessica was heading out with baby Jace, and as they went by me, I felt this, and I've never had Jace ever reach out and been able to grab a hold of me before, but he certainly got a handful of my hair, and I'm back here trying to untangle these fingers. But that development, that depth, the eye to the object, and then in time as they keep progressing and developing, that eyesight gets better. Then I think about the hearing. You know, when they first born, you ever seen the startle reaction? Just a kind of a noise that we're all used to and none of us paying attention. And the baby goes like this. And you're like, oh, honey, it's okay, it's okay. But they get a little older and none of you do that. If I were to blow a horn in here, you'd be like, okay. But none of you are going to react like a baby does, that startle reaction. So that hearing has to become developed. Now, while a baby can know its mother's voice, often they say when it's born, because it's hearing it the whole time before it's born, while it's in the mother's stomach. But it begins to train, that ear becomes trained to other members of the family. I'm always excited when I think the grandchildren recognize me. Maybe I'm just fooling myself, but when their little faces light up, I'm like, oh, it's grandma. And then, you know, a perfect stranger walks by and they light up. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe next time. Babies will also, they're hearing, they will learn languages. So if your family's speaking English, clearly they're going to learn English. And if you've heard it talk about families that are bilingual and can speak multiple languages, how quickly they can pick it up when they're taught that from a very young age. So that ear is being developed. They learn what words mean, like no and stop. Probably the voice inflection helps them a lot. I think about for us, for me, the first part of disciplining was glasses. Typically, I'm one of the few in our family that wears glasses. And so I remember the babies, and they would just reach up, and I would say, no, 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 no. And then they're beginning to learn what no means. We're training them. You're not going to have mom's glasses or now grandma. Also, I read, that hearing stimulates brain development. So as you can hear, helps that brain develop like it should, and it's very important. Let's talk about taste, another sense that we develop from early on. Now, initially, babies, they say, can differentiate between sweet and a bitter taste. And I thought about, we used to buy all the little baby food jars. Kids love Tutti Frutti. They love peaches. Not so much the carrots and what, peas. Oh, they hated peas. And so, you know, one bite would go in and I felt like three bites came out and I wasn't really sure how that happened. But it was very disgusting. They would spit it and the mouth was shut really tight. So how many of your family you did the airplane game and you made faces and you got really ridiculous, anything to get that mouth open so we could shove food in? They had to work on developing that taste. How many of you in here like spinach? Especially like, good. How many of you don't like spinach? Okay, all right, I hear you. How about sauerkraut? Who in here does not like sauerkraut? Tell you a story about sauerkraut. I don't remember my mom ever fixing it. And my husband's family are German/Czechoslovakian/something. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, you're something. And so sauerkraut was a main staple in that family. And I remember the first time his mom ate it. Of course, I was brought up, you do not complain. You do not say you don't like it. You don't make faces. You eat it and you say thank you. And I didn't really care for sauerkraut. And I don't know if my mother-in-law did this on purpose, but she began to put apples in there that helped kind of take the bite off. And I remember Natalie, her birthday is December 31st. And so on New Year's Day, Mom Strzelecki would make sauerkraut. And so we would laugh. We'd say, this is Natalie's birthday meal. And I don't think Natalie liked it initially, if I recall. But today we all like it. We make the sauerkraut. We like sauerkraut. How did we get that way? We had to develop that taste bud. And so in our house, we had a rule that if you didn't like something, you had to at least eat one or two bites. And my hope as a mom was that as I kept introducing this different food, it's time that you would like it. Sometimes it works. So we have some kids that didn't matter. But many foods...
I'm starting to like tomatoes now.
Whoa.
Maybe have 2 bites.
I'm going to make you have 2 bites next time. All right. Awesome. But many foods are an acquired taste. Think about foods that the first time you ate them, the second time, ew, yuck, the third, and today you like them. So you developed, you exercised those taste buds and you developed that taste. Now a smell, I think about a baby's sense of smell is highly developed at birth, but they don't know what they're smelling. They can smell. It's not trained. Now, in here, I want you to raise your hand. If you smell, can you tell the difference between the smell of meatloaf and the smell of cinnamon rolls? Okay, how about the difference between the smell of a skunk and the smell of a rose bush? Can you tell the difference? And a rose bush. Roses. Rose something. All right. How about the difference between the smell of a campfire or hand lotion? Now, if I were to ask, and somehow she understood that of Annabelle back here, she wouldn't. She could smell all those, and she might know she don't like one or the other, but she can't tell the difference. All of you were her age once. And all of you can now tell me the difference between those smells. How? Your nose has become trained. With time, perhaps you come in the kitchen and you smelled something. Mommy, what is that? That's cinnamon rolls, honey. Oh, that's, I like that. Yeah. Mommy, what is it? That's liver. Oh, yeah, I know. And so you develop that sense of smell. You begin to realize that some things smell good and some things stink, right? And now I don't think people probably have to tell you. People don't have to say, Brother James, this smell is stinky and this smell is good. You can figure it out because you have begun to exercise that sense. What about touch? So touch plays a key role in a baby's bonding process with the mother and the father. You probably have read stories about babies that are left laying long periods of time and how that actually it hinders that development. So it's very, very important. The sense of touch. Even when they're first born, especially maybe if they're preemies, they'll do the skin to skin where babies get to tuck them right in mom's shirt. And that skin to skin contact actually develops health wise, makes them healthier in the brain development. It's comforting. It's reassuring. I think about when our children got hurt and they run to mom or dad for a hug and a kiss because it's going to make it all better. Does it really make it all better? Oh, but it's that comfort, the touch that helps out. I think about, I read that says, research says holding hands produces a calming response. Now, it was calming to me when my toddlers were out of control to hold their hand. I don't know if it was calming to them because they were trying to get away. But when they were afraid, I'll have to tell the story about Tyler because he was kind of a wandering soul. And at the grocery, many times I would turn around and he was nowhere to be seen at the age of like 3 or 4. It scared me to death. So one day I thought, well, I'll just scare him really good and it'll just fix this problem. And just as a little caveat, it did not fix the problem. But anyway, so what I did was I figured out where he was at and then I hid from him. I hid in the clothes. I'm like, I'm going to wait. Pretty soon he's crying. He doesn't know where mom's at. He's very scared. And he held my hand the rest of that shopping trip. Not so much the next one. But why? He was afraid. It was calming to have that touch. He knew where mom was at. Now, I'm not here teaching you about the five senses. This is not an anatomy lesson, or we're here to learn spiritual things. We have spiritual senses. But I think about how often we got to look at the physical to understand the spiritual. Now, man, and you ladies, women, we are comprised of three parts. So we're called a threefold being. Can anybody tell me what those three parts are? Body, soul, and spirit. So what you see here is my body. I have a soul, and I also have a spirit. The body is how I understand this world I'm living in. If I didn't have this body, you wouldn't hear me talking. I wouldn't have my mouth and my vocal cords. You wouldn't see me. It's how I see you through these eyeballs. So it's called my world consciousness. My spirit is how I talk to God. Was anybody talking to God during the church service this morning? Maybe thanking God for something, or in your heart you were rejoicing because maybe something touched you. I saw some of you crying. I think that was because your spirit, that's how we talk to God. It's our God consciousness. And that last one is the soul. That's the real you. It's your self-consciousness. It's how you're aware of yourself. So when you look into my eyes, I'm behind there. That's my soul back there, looking out through my, it's like the windows. My eyes are like the windows, and that's my soul. And when it's all said and done, and this is a whole nother lesson, and when I die, what happens to this? It goes back to dust, doesn't it? And what happens to my spirit, my awareness of God? Will I need awareness of God when I get to eternity? When I'm with God, do I need an awareness of God? Nope. So my spirit goes back to God who gave it. So all that's left is my soul. That's me. And did you know that the soul has 5 senses? Let's talk just a few minutes about those. The physical senses, like I said, of the body, the touch, the smell, the hearing, the seeing, helps us understand the soul senses. Those 5 senses of the soul. And just like we have to train our smelling and our tasting and our hearing to be working properly and fully, we need to train our spiritual senses as well. Let's talk about the eyesight, the soul eyesight. Now, the physical eye might read something and think, oh, that sounds nice. I like that. But when you begin to train your eyes through Bible study, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Oh, yeah. Not so nice, is it? The physical eyes liked it. I got over here in my Bible and started training my spiritual eyes, and my spiritual eyes said, that's not so good. You need to leave that alone. Proverbs 20 and 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. That means not all eyes can see and not all ears can hear. This is my physical ear. It's hearing. Your physical ear probably is hearing. I'm pretty loud, so I doubt you're having trouble hearing me. But it's the spiritual ear that we're concerned about. Because your physical ear can hear me and you cannot be hearing a word I'm saying because your mind's on something else. You've got a lot of stuff going on in your head. So, Psalm 119 and 18 says, open thou mine eyes. Does that mean the psalmist was asleep, having trouble keeping his eyes open, needed the light turned on? No. He meant his soul eyes, his spiritual eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. He wasn't blind and he didn't have a problem reading the law. He needed his eyes of his soul, his spiritual understanding to be opened. Just like Anna back here, if I were to take this piece of paper over to her, she could not read it. She's not been taught. Those eyes have not been taught how to read yet. And when you first come along in your walk with the Lord, your spiritual eyes often don't have that understanding. But you keep working at it. You go to Sunday school. You read your Bible. You come to young people's. And that spiritual eyesight becomes more and more developed. And it's so awesome. Sometimes you're reading the Bible and you're like, oh, that's what that means. I've read that 45 times. But today, my eyes got opened. I'm so excited. You never had that? Just wait. It's coming. So, exercise. Think about, if you look at the Revelation chart when it comes down out there in the auditorium, and on the far left, we can see two pictures. One of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. What did he dream? Statue. And it was beautiful. Gold and silver. And of course, he's all into gold and silver because he's a king and he's all into wealth. And he was just, wow, that's so beautiful. I'm going to make one. I want one just like it. Daniel had a vision. What was it? This is a little bit harder. What was Daniel's vision? Hideous beasts. That's right. Beasts. Hideous, he said. They were the same thing. The image and the beasts were exactly the same thing. Why did Nebuchadnezzar go, wow? And Daniel went, that's awful. Two different sets of eyes. One was physical eyes, and one was soul or spiritual eyes. Daniel was a prophet, a man of God. His eyes were developed, and he was seeing the Roman kingdom and the Medes and the Persians and all these kingdoms and how terrible and ungodly they were and how they would be treating God's people. Daniel was seeing it with the eyes of the soul. There's the difference. We got to train those eyes through understanding. What about our hearing? Matthew 11 and 15 says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That means everybody that has ears can't hear. Everybody that has ears are not listening. John 6 and 60 tells us that he had some disciples. That when they heard all these things Jesus was teaching, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it? Have you ever heard some hard sayings? I think the word no is a hard saying, whether we're talking spiritually or physically. Can I have a piece of candy, Mom? No. Can I stay up till midnight? No. Can I hang out with my friends? No. Oh, that's a hard saying. But spiritually, sometimes we hear things, they're hard sayings. For instance, you might hear this preached or taught, and you're like, what? You're kidding? The pastor preaches on the standard and how we got to dress modestly, and there's some places we should go, and there's some places we should not go. And you're like, oh, that's a hard saying, because I don't really understand it. I haven't developed my hearing yet. I haven't been working on that. Or live free from sin. You're like, well, most everybody I know doesn't believe in living free from sin. That's a hard saying. Why does the Church of God believe that? And that hearing, as it's undeveloped, sometimes it can cause us trouble. See, if we stop right there and we never work to develop our hearing or our comprehension, we're going to be in trouble. James 1 and 2. Some hard sayings. I'm going to give you a couple hard sayings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations. Young people, the last time you had a temptation, did you say, thank the Lord, I am so joyful? Did you count it joy? James said we should count it all joy. I'm like, whoa, working on that one. Now we know as we develop our spiritual senses, we realize all things work together for good, including divers temptations. God's using it for a good purpose. But initially, that's a hard saying. What about John 15 and 12? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You mean my brother that drives me nuts? That got into my room and tore up my whatever it was? Or that friend of mine that told stories on me and it wasn't even true, and now she's not my friend. I'm not talking to her. We're done. I've got to love her like God loves us. That's a hard saying. So we got to develop our hearing. We realize that we can't do that without God's help. The scripture says, hear what the Spirit saith. See, it's not what the physical people are saying, but it's what the Spirit's saying. This is why we endeavor to pray. When we study for a lesson, our pastor, I'm sure, before he preaches, that I'm not just talking, but it's God impressing me to give you the words. That's what you need to hear. Because I can talk all day long, and you can hear all day long when we're in the physical. But we want to talk about the spiritual, the soul hearing. And we got to recognize that, because there's a lot of church services that you could go to. And I don't know that the Spirit's always talking in all these church services. So we've got to recognize when is the Spirit speaking and when he's not. We have to cultivate so we get to recognizing his voice. I think about the very first time that Brother Steve, my boyfriend, called me on the phone. Probably from a payphone. He used to call me before he went to work. I don't recall our first conversation. And we didn't have caller ID back then. We did have a party line, and that was fun for our neighbors. But I may not have immediately known that was him. I might have had to let him say 3 or 4 or 7. Oh, it's Steve. But today when he calls, do I have to? Obviously, we all have caller ID, but let's say for some reason it didn't work, or he called from somebody else's phone. Do I have to wait for 3 or 5 or 7 words, or do I have to ask him who it is? What do you think? No. I know his voice. I've been hearing it for a long time, and I like it, so it's a good thing. Yeah. You know what? Well, the first few times God spoke to me, I didn't know his voice, and I had to find out who he was, kind of like Samuel. He didn't know. But you know what? I hear his voice a lot now, and I like it. I like it. But I've had to cultivate that ear. I've had to cultivate that hearing. I've had to train it. Think about Samuel. Who's talking to me? Eli? Eli, is that you? Eli's like, no, Samuel, that's God. You think by the time Samuel got to the end of his life, he was having to ask for help to recognize God's voice? He was a powerful prophet of God. He recognized that voice. And God used him in an amazing way. What about soul tasting? How do we taste with our soul? Psalm 34 and 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We will never know what pizza tastes like if we don't taste it. And a dear family friend got clear up into his 40s or 50s, and he was convinced he didn't like pizza. He would not try it. I'm like, how can you not like pizza? Finally, one day he tried it, and for the rest of his life, he was eating pizza. He tasted. He exercised those taste buds, and he found out he had been missing something. We are not going to know how good God is unless we taste. How do we taste? The scripture says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Lord, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I'm pretty sure. Trust me. Lord, you see, I need help. I need direction. I can't figure it out. I'm really stressed. Trust me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, Revelation 10 and 10 tells us some things taste really good, sweet as honey, and then they go down in your belly and they become kind of bitter. So some of the things in this life, as we're developing our taste buds, we know they're good for us. Kind of like persecution. We're like a church. Yes, it's awesome. I want to live for the Lord. I'm so excited. I'm a Christian. And you go to school and you get made fun of. And you're like, ouch, skirt girl. What's wrong with you? How come you? And you get persecution. And that's kind of bitter. That's kind of a little bit like having indigestion. And you need maybe some antacid or something. But as you train and you exercise your taste buds, just like we talked about trying new foods. We try and we exercise that. We go through Bible reading and prayer. We get counsel. Brother Steve, help me how to handle this bitterness. It's a little rough now. And the soul taste bud can say, I know I need this. It may be a little bit hard. It might be challenging. This is good for me. I'm training those taste buds that even when I taste the bitter, God's going to work it for good. Like our lesson on the chocolate chip cookies. Nobody in here that I know of sitting around eating baking soda. It's a little rough. You brush your teeth with it, that's hard enough. Don't be eating it. But it helps the cookies. And God knows that. And in our walk, some things are bitter. We taste it like the toddlers. You want to spit it out? I'm not going to do it. But you keep exercising, training, reading, praying. Oh, God, you know. This is a very necessary ingredient. It's going to give me a backbone. Okay. All right. What about our smell? Just as our sense of smell is developed to know what smells good and bad, our soul smell needs to be developed as well. That doesn't smell right. Discernment. That don't quite feel right. I don't know about that. Psalm 115 and 6 says, it's talking about idols. Noses they have, but they smell not. And you drop down to verse 8, it talks about the heathens. It says, they that make them are like them. They have noses, but they can't smell. We're talking about developing our spiritual senses. Philippians 4 and 18 tells us, the odor of a sweet smell is an acceptable sacrifice. It's well-pleasing to God. So there's some things that God smells and he finds pleasing. That smells good. I like that. They're down there praising me today in church service. I like that. They're over here praying. Oh, that smells good. I like that. And it's going up to God like a sweet smell, like the incense in the Old Testament. But if we're not developing our sense of smell, we can't discern what's pleasing to God. Oh, them people just acting ridiculous again. She's up there raising her hand again. He's testifying again. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with your nose? Develop a good sense of smell, good discernment. God's pleased? Pow. Okay, then that's a good thing. And the last one, touch. Just as a baby needs to bond with its family, the soul needs to bond with its family. Unity. We need each other, brethren. It is crucial. Remember I told you touch is crucial for development and health. This is crucial for your spiritual development and your spiritual health. You know what happens? Anytime you feel like you're upset, you got your feelings hurt, things aren't going right, you're stressed out, and you want to get off in a corner, I can promise you that's the devil, not the Lord. Because the devil knows too how crucial for your development is your church family. Unity. Ephesians 4 and 3 says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Does anybody know what endeavor is? Is it easy or hard? Hard. Is it work or taking it easy? Work. You got anybody that gets on your nerves? And you've got to endeavor to keep your mouth shut and be kind and not talk about them and not make faces at them and whatever else that we're tempted to do. Because we're all human and we're all tempted. Endeavor, exercise, put forth the effort. We got to train. Got to train the sense of touch. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I want to come in church and sit down and not talk to anybody. And I'm 50-something. I don't know what. 56, I think. Am I 56? 56 years old, you think I'd figure it out by now. But I've learned that if I'm having a bad day and I don't want to talk to anybody, and I walk in and I talk to people and I check on people, I feel so much better. And I feel more love, and I feel there's a healthy response, a spiritual health response. Unity promotes a greater love for each other. But I thought the scripture that seems so important to me in this area is John 13 and 35. By this, by you loving, by you endeavoring, by you reaching out, by you showing care, by this, all men, our worldly friends, our unsafe family, this is how they're going to know that you're my disciples.
develop your sense of touch, your soul touch.
And my last scripture is 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. All these things we talked about are not going to be discerned with our literal touch and eyes and ears. They are foolishness to him. If we don't have the Spirit of God, the things of God are going to seem foolish. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The soul is what discerns them. The soul is what experiences these things and feels them. They can only be comprehended in a spiritual way. Close your eyes for a minute. Everybody close your eyes. Keep them closed. Can you see what I'm saying? Understand. I want you to think about your soul senses, not your physical. That's why I want your eyes closed. Can you see what I'm saying? Can you understand? Can you hear what I'm saying? Not your physical ears. Are you discerning what the lesson is actually meaning? Can you taste what I'm saying? Well, this is really good, Sister Sherry. I've never thought about that before. I think I'll put that into practice. I think I'll eat that. I'll chew it up. I'll swallow it. I'll put it into practice. Can you smell what I'm saying with your soul? This smell, does it pass the smell test? I think this is right. This lesson about developing our soul senses, that could please God. That must be right. And can you feel what I'm saying? Can you touch it? I can feel the importance of having a church family, spending time with them. I need others. You can open your eyes now. Love is how we'll win the world. What I did there, having you close your eyes, sometimes I think we have to block out the physical, sometimes to hear the spiritual, to listen with the spiritual man, to see with the spiritual man. Just me, sometimes when I worship, I like to close my eyes because I'm trying to hear with those spiritual ears and see with those spiritual eyes. Once again, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. The natural man's not how we receive these things. They are spiritually discerned. We'll turn the message. We'll turn this back over to Brother Jacob.